You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Will do. Okay, we can shut it off. The point is taken. Thank you. Or keep it going. I don't care. This is my decision. How many of you like that song? Three. Oh my gosh. Wow. Really? I thought that when I selected this, I was like, this is definitely like one of the most hated songs for the Christmas season. The polls show I am wrong. I wanted to torture you guys a little bit. So I promise I did that for a reason. For those of you who dislike that song, like me, a little bit torturous. For those of you who like it, you're welcome. A gift from me. right, yeah, unexpected. Wow, you're welcome. So we are in our Advent series, and Advent is the time where we celebrate Christmas by telling the stories that surround and lead up to the birth of Christ. And so as I was kind of reading these stories and really rereading these stories, I began to see a theme, something that kept popping up. And that theme was the fact that no matter what is going on in the story, God is always working in the unexpected. God is always outside of the planned and outside of the ordinary. He's working in the unexpected. So when you read these stories, you're going to have to expect the unexpected. And so we're hoping through this series that we're going to play off that a little bit and learn more about that. And I thought, what's more unexpected than playing I Want Hippopotamus for Christmas? That's what I thought. I don't know if we're following or tracking here, but I thought that. But more importantly, when it comes to the unexpected, no one has that more down than kids, man. Like in this song, a child is asking for like a 2-ton herbivore to live in their house. That's just a little bit out there. I was watching a YouTube video where a kid asked Santa if he could become a dragon for Christmas. I don't know if it came true. I have no idea. I have not like checked back up. But that's the thing. Kids are unafraid to ask for anything. They don't care about any physical limitations, budgetary limitations. Physically, you know, like the kids will be like, yo, I want a dirt bike. And you're like, you're 5. You are definitely not getting a dirt bike. No. Or they'll be like, I want the Tickle Me Elmo, but in pink. And they're like, they don't make that. They don't make that. Okay. And you're like, so you're like, they don't make that. They're like, Santa can't make it. And you're like, crap. You go through an existential crisis trying to figure out how to answer a kid. Because for them, anything is possible. And that's kind of the beauty of this season is that they can ask for something and it will literally appear underneath a tree one day. That's pretty cool. That's amazing. That's the beauty of Christmas is that almost anything can happen. You know, Christmas, I saw a t-shirt that said, believe in the magic of Christmas. And cynical me was like, that's the most, oh my gosh, so stupid. I would never wear that. So dumb. But it's true though. There's something magical about this time of year and about that kind of childlike attitude that anything's possible, that I can ask for something and it can happen. But as I've kind of grown into adulthood, I know some of you are thinking, oh, I thought he was in middle school. I'm actually an adult. I'm 21. Hi. I have to like come into work and they'll be like, are you looking for a parent? I'm like, no, I'm here to work. Please. Oh my gosh. So I'm barely in the cusp of adulthood. 2 years ago, I had a great Christmas. I got some adult things. I got some jumper cables. I got like a socket set. I got this typical clothing, you know. And so I was very satisfied with my presents. But then I looked around at all my cousins are younger than me. I'm the oldest, which is wonderful and horrible at the same time. I'm looking around them. They're flying drones and playing with Legos. And, you know, my sister's got like some kind of beauty kit. And, you know, like they've got all these fun things. And I'm like, well, I could fix something. And then I realized that adulthood is all about like you get gifts so you can work more. And I was like, this is a trap. Admiral Akbar was right, but you can't escape it. You can't escape it. And maybe it's not just the fact that your gifts as an adult are different, because there's some toys that you can get. I'm not going to go full Buick commercial and say that my budget for Casey is $50,000. But I think that there are some things that just won't fit under the tree anymore when we become adults. Is that fair? That we have a wish list that doesn't just include material possessions or things you can go out and buy. You know, and I don't know what that would be for you. I don't know what is on your wish list, but for some of you, there's been something on there for a long, long time. And let me give you a few examples. Maybe for you, you know, we're in this time of year where couples post an enormous amount of photos of themselves, and you just go, why? We all know what you look like. But they do that. And if you're single, I remember when I was single, that just gut check. Like, it was rough. And I don't know if you're there in that place where you're like, I want a life partner who loves me, not just for, you know, my good side, which is for me, my calves, but it loves me for quirks, which is everything else about me. I want that. And if you're in that place, you're longing for that, you know, relationships 1, 2, 3, and 4 from this year didn't pan out. And eventually you just start to think, will I ever find someone like that? Like somebody else has? I don't know if that's true for you. Maybe it's a career thing. Maybe you got into a career and it just wasn't satisfying. And you just want a job that would get you up in the morning, that would be exciting for you. And you're longing for that. So that's on your wish list. You say, God, I just want a career that I can do a great job and feel satisfied in that. Maybe it's a community of friends or believers or a church community where you've just hopped around from place to place to place in your life and you don't feel like you belong anywhere. And so you long for a place where you feel at home and you feel like you can relate to people and you feel loved. Maybe that's what you're searching for. Maybe that's on your wish list. I don't know what it could be for you. Maybe on your wish list, you just want some financial peace. We just got done with Financial Peace University. And as I have experienced a thing called bills, I realized that that's a lot harder than maybe it seems at the front end of it. And maybe your wish list would say, Lord, I just want some financial security. I just want to be able to know that I have enough to live on. I'm not asking for a lot. I just would like some security in that. I don't know what it is for you in your life. Maybe it's a family member who you would want to see reunited with your family. Maybe there's a distant cousin or a family feud that's been going on for years and you just want to see that come to an end. I don't know what's on your wish list. Maybe it's a big thing. Maybe you are frightened by the amount of racism in this country and you say, Lord, I need this to end, Lord God. Maybe you see the abortion rate and you say, God, why is this happening? God, I want to see this end. I don't know what's on your wish list. I don't know what you want to see happen. But the first two characters we find in the Gospel of Luke would relate to you. If you've got something on your wish list that you want to see come true, but you haven't yet, Zachariah and Elizabeth get it. And I don't know if you've ever been trying to have kids. I haven't. But I've heard from you, some of you, that is like one of the most excruciating periods, especially if it ain't working. Because you just ask, Lord, I just want a little one to call my own. Lord, God, I want that. That's something, and you try and you try and you try. And that's what was going on with Zach and Elizabeth. Sorry if I call him, instead of Zachariah, Zach. I do that all the time. I shorten names. So if I say Zach, I'm talking about Zachariah. Please excuse me. Very sorry. Zachariah and Elizabeth, these two Bible characters, they wanted kids. And back in those days, it was a big deal to have a child. And if you didn't have a kid, you were kind of seen as a failure. It's kind of like being homeless in America. The American dream is having a house, having a place to live. And so if you don't have one, you almost feel like you're a disgrace or you're a failure. And the thing was, is that Zachariah and Elizabeth, it says here that they were righteous. They were priests even. They were doing everything right. And it was just like, God, we want this one thing. We just want to have a child. Why can't you make this come true? Why can't you bring this wish into my life? And they were struggling with that. And the Bible says that they were very old. Now, when the Bible calls you very old, you know that you're very old. It's true. So I don't know what age range they are, but biologically, things weren't working to be able to produce a child. That just wasn't a possibility. So I think that they had what would be called a dream deferred, something on their wish list that maybe they had erased out, or it had been there so long that it was faded. Something that they probably just gave up on. And the nation of Israel also had something on their wish list. The nation of Israel was experiencing a 400-year period of silence. God had not sent a prophet. He had not brought a man of God or a woman of God to come down and speak a word to them or to communicate with them. There were 400 years where God had not spoken. And so there was a longing, there was a deep desire during this season for God to speak, for God to break in and say something. And so the whole nation of Israel is waiting in expectation for this Messiah to come rescue them from their oppressors. And from the hopelessness that they had, Judea was under the oppression of the Roman Empire. And there had been several attempts to kind of liberate themselves from that. And so they were longing for this Messiah, this person and man of God who could come in and rescue them. And so there's this two things on Zechariah and Elizabeth's wish list, a personal thing that says, Lord, we want a child. And a kind of a global humankind kind of thing where we say, we want to see God speak. And so they had longed for that, but it had been so long that I'm certain they had almost given up. And I don't know if you're in that place with what's on your wish list where you've longed and longed and longed for something, and it just doesn't seem like it's ever going to come true, that you've almost given up on it. And that's, I think, where Zechariah was. But where we pick up the story, Zechariah is about to have a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Zechariah is a priest. And so they would perform in the temple for a week. They would go in and burn incense in this place called the Holy of Holies, place right outside the Holy of Holies, excuse me. And that would be a place that only the priest could go one time a year. And there were so many priests that you would only get a chance to do it once in your lifetime. So this week, Zechariah has all of this anticipation and expectation about, oh my gosh, I get to go and experience the Lord, and I get to go pray, and I get to go burn incense. And so he's very, very excited. He's expecting something to happen, I believe. And so we pick up the story here. And this is in Luke 1, verse 11. And it says this, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. Angels are like this. They never knock. They're never like, hey, yo, angel coming in, like, check me out. They always, I think they talk to themselves. They're like, yo, are we about to scare Zechariah out of his mind? And they like pop in. And Zechariah's like, oh gosh, what? Whoa, whoa, whoa. And they're like, got him. But then they say this ironic thing. They say, but the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Don't be afraid. I know I just scared the living daylights out of you, but don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. What a fabulous five words. I guess he kind of had to bring him back after he just, you know, made him pee himself or something like that. Can we get the next slide? Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. And then he goes on, you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. And it says this, he will be a man with the spirit and the power of Elijah. We talked about Elijah and Elisha a couple weeks ago. There's this thing in Judaism that focuses on the spirit and the power of Elijah. And we'll see that here in a minute. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. What a promise. Out of nowhere, completely unexpected, this angel shows up. Oh, hey, you're going to have a son, even though you're ancient. And not only is this going to be an average, ordinary guy, I'm going to use him to redeem and harmonize the world. Wow. And what's interesting, I want to read you this too. I want to point this out for all you little Bible geeks like me. So Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. It's the last prophet And so in between the 400 years of silence, this was the last thing that Malachi wrote. Behold, I will send you, this is in Malachi 4, 5 through 6, if you want to fact check me. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So God ends a promise and begins a promise with the exact same sentence here. For it says there, this is the prophet Elijah reborn, basically. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And so I don't know where you are in your life, but I want to say this to you. Maybe you're in a period where you feel distant from God. You feel like God hasn't said anything to you in a while, and you feel like, man, he's not hearing me. God didn't speak in 400 years, and the promise remained true. God still had the same thing to say to them. So even if you do not hear God, he is still with you, and he is still speaking to you the same thing that he's always been said to you. That is that he loves you and he's on your side. And we're going to see that throughout this story continue. And so, but if you're like Zechariah and if you're like me, you're pretty cynical, you're pretty skeptical because you're 75 or something. And God's telling you you're going to have a kid. So I think Zechariah responds perfectly normally here. He says, how can I be sure this will happen? You know, like I'm an old man now and my wife is also old. So what are you going to do? And so Gabriel, the angel, seems a bit like egotistical in this, watch this. He says, then the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It is he who sent me to you to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Bernice, I'm channeling you right now. I want you to know that. I'm fully channeling you or Olivia. One or the other. Don't be embarrassed. This is a great thing. This is hilarious. I'm so sorry. I just broke the fourth wall. I'm gonna get an email about that. But Gabriel completely like dogs on him because he's like, you didn't believe this. So until you learn how to say the right things, you're gonna be silent for a little bit. So until God can show him that the promise is gonna come true, he's gonna have to be silent. And so there are a bunch of priests outside praying and they're kind of worried about Zechariah because they haven't heard from him in a while. He comes back out, they kind of freak out. But then it continues like this. In verse 24, soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. And she said this, how kind is the Lord. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. Imagine that. As a woman in that society, the most important thing that you could do is raise a child, is have a child. And for so long, she had felt empty. She had felt broken. She had felt disgraced. And in that moment, in the most unexpected time, God breaks in and says, I am going to bring you into wholeness. And that is our God, that in the moment that we least expect God, he is there breaking in to bring us to wholeness and bring us into the fullness of what he has for not only us, but the world. And the story continues in verse 70 or 67. Says this, or 57, my bad. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. Huh. Just like God said, what do you know? And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they came for the circumcision ceremony, which is very important in Jewish culture. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, again, Jewish custom. But Elizabeth said, nah, his name is John. Which is interesting is that Zechariah never told her, he was mute, he never told her to name him John. The Holy Spirit gave it to her as well. And so the relatives go, what? Boy, what are you doing? What do you mean you're going to name him John? That's no one in the family is named that. At least name him Z-Man or Zacky Boy or something, right? And so this is what they do. So they use gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him in verse 62. So I just imagine them like, have you ever tried to talk to someone using gestures like across the room? It never works. It's always a failure. They never understand what you're saying. So what Zechariah does is he motioned for his iPad. And to everyone's surprise, I'm sorry, is that a mistranslation? He opened up the Paint app. I think that's Windows, my bad. To everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." And it says in verse 64, instantly Zechariah could speak again and he began praising God. I think that's so interesting that as soon as he believes and steps into the promise that God has for him, then he can regain his speech. Because then he can finally praise God and celebrate the God who is a giver, the God who is on his side. He finally has learned who God is and how to relate to God. And so what's interesting also is that John, I learned this this week, is John comes from the Greek word Jehohanan, or not the Greek word, the Jewish name Jehohanan. That's why we get that weird H in the word John. And it means gracious gift of God. That's what the name John means. So by accepting the gracious gift of God, Zechariah is able to then participate again in speaking and in praising God because he's received the promise. And then it says this, awe fell upon the whole neighborhood and the news of what happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, what will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord will surely upon him in a special way. And this is incredible to me because God doesn't just step in to fulfill the promise of an individual. God is always working on behalf of the corporate world, of everyone. But he doesn't neglect Zechariah and Elizabeth's desire. And I wonder, I really do wonder if when God was thinking about, okay, when can I give them a child, if he didn't set this up so he could kill two birds with one stone. I've got this Messiah that needs to come into the world, and he needs a prophet who comes before him. So I'm going to wait a little bit. I'm going to do things in an unexpected way so that I can accomplish both the hopes and the wishes and the dreams of Zechariah and Elizabeth and of the nation of Israel and the world at the same time. What an amazing, amazing event. But the problem for me is I don't believe in a God like this when functionally in my brain. And I don't know if it's just how the world works. I don't know what it is. But when your dreams have been deferred for so long, or when you live in a world that just doesn't make this seem possible, it's hard to believe in a God like this. Tim Zucchini, when we brought him up to do an interview, his old version of who God was to him was this old man on the throne, this mean guy who is all about rules and is all about sticking it to you. And he kind of reminds me of Ebenezer Scrooge. And I don't know if your vision of God has ever taken this form, but sometimes for me, I've thought of God this way. Kind of God is pinching heavenly pennies, you know, holding back from us, only giving us a little bit because we might become dependent or we might start to love the gifts more than him. And I don't know if you see God in any kind of that way, but I just want to speak against that kind of a God and that kind of a theology because that's not what we see here. This story really speaks to the character and nature of God as a giver, as one who is always working on our side if we are on his side to bring about the best for the world, to bring about the most good in any situation. And just to go along with that, there's a verse in Psalm 84:11 that says this, "For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing for those who do what is right." And the question is, do we believe that today? For me, that's hard to believe in. I don't know if it's hard for you. Maybe it's like, yeah, check. But for me, that's hard. Because there's so much that's going wrong in the world and there's so much going wrong in my life, it doesn't seem true. But this is what we have revealed to us. And this is what we see in Zechariah and Elizabeth's story. We don't know why God waited to give them a child, but we know that God is a God who is on their side. And it says here, the Lord will withhold no good thing for those who do what is right. And then Jesus kind of uses a metaphor that teaches this as well. So he's teaching them, his disciples, in Matthew 7. Carrie already read the first two verses, and I'm going to finish it out here with verses 9, 10, 11. He said, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, Do you give them a stone instead? I didn't realize that was like a Dr. Seuss rhyme there until just now. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Because of course not. So he says, so if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? For me, anyway. Crazy. Crazy to think about. But so, so true. If you, on Christmas morning, want to get your kid a hippopotamus to fulfill their dreams and wishes, and sure, it's stuffed, but you want to see them light up on Christmas morning. And some of you who don't have kids, you know, I want Casey to be excited about the gift I give her. I want, no matter what, the people I love, I want to get them something good. And if that's us in our brokenness, imagine God in his perfection, what he wants with you. God is a loving parent who wants to see the best for your life. So the issue for us is then, do we step into that like Zechariah did and keep praying when we don't see it? Do we step into it and ask for what we want? This is what it says in Matthew 18:3. Jesus says to them, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Now that's kind of harsh. So what does he mean by that? And I think to some extent, you might've heard this phrase, a childlike faith. And folks, to interact with God in the world, we need a hippopotamus kind of faith. A big faith that believes, even when we can't see it, in a God who is working behind the scenes for our good. And that's what we see in the story with Zechariah and Elizabeth. They waited for 50, 60, 70 years to see their wishes come true, but they never stopped asking. They never stopped asking. And that's the challenge for us today in this Christmas season. In order to experience the hope and the joy and the peace that God wants for us, we have to believe that he's on our side just like he says he is. And we have to be ready to step into and ask our Heavenly Father for something we want. If you don't ask, you don't receive. My mom used to say, no harm in asking. And so the question and the challenge that Carrie said earlier, what is one thing that you really want to see happen in the next year? What's your hope? It's okay to ask God for that, because it says actually in Psalms 37:11 that if you take delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. The Lord is on our side, even when it doesn't seem like it. Even when we're stuck in the 400 years where God is silent. Even when we're 45 and the last hope for Zechariah and Elizabeth dies. We never know what unexpected place God is going to break back in and act. And so in order to have this kind of faith that I think we need to have, we have to practice it. If we want a childlike faith, we have to act a little childish. And so today, you might have noticed as you came in, I've got little, like, instead of writing a Dear Santa letter today, I'd like us to write, you know, Dear God. And just ask God for something. I want us to practice this. So for about 5 minutes, we're gonna play some music and we're gonna write a short letter to God and just ask him for what's on our heart. Now, if you're not comfortable with this, you don't have to do this. What I suggest you do if you don't like this is just write, Dear God, please give us a new associate pastor who does not do weird things Sunday morning. Amen. Expect the unexpected with me with the next 4 weeks. Good luck. Might get a little treacherous. If we want a childlike faith, we have to start acting a little bit childish. And so let's have fun. Let's play a little bit. Creative play, right? Ryan, is this following in line with that? Great. Solid. If you would, join me in the back here and write a letter to God. So if you're finishing up, don't worry. I'm just going to talk for a little bit. That's what I've been doing this whole time, so it's not a big deal. If this is helpful for you, hang it up somewhere. If it's a reminder to pray about this thing, to ask God, God wants to work with you. God wants to see the things that you long for come true, not only personally in your life, but in the world. But here's the kicker. You know, it may not be what you expect. I don't know if you've ever asked for something for Christmas and got it, but you didn't quite get it, you know, because your parents totally don't understand you or whatever. I don't know if you've had that experience. It might be a little bit like that with God. We might ask for something, and it shows up in a totally different way, at a totally different time. When Zechariah and Elizabeth were longing for and praying for a kid, I don't think they thought, oh, our kid's going to become a homeless prophet. We're going to have him at about 75. It's totally unexpected. So God may answer this prayer in an unexpected way, at an unexpected time, but I believe that God wants to answer your prayer if this is what's good for you and this is what's possible for him. And so maybe you stick this in with your Christmas decorations and next year you pull it out and you say, oh, did God answer my prayer? Whatever it is, I want to make this a way for you to experience God, to interact with him. I don't want this to be something where I just come and talk at you for a half an hour. And so as we close, I want this to be our prayer. And this is Zechariah's prayer as he, after he his the birth of his son and after he can speak again. This is immediately what he said. And I just want to read it to you because it's so powerful. So just let this be your prayer today as we close out. This is in verse 67. It says this, then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. For he has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so that we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, he says to John, you will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. And then it says, this is one of my favorite verses in all scripture. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know what kind of storm is raging in your life. But here is my prayer. Lord, we know that you're a good God and we believe that you are on our side. And you are working behind the scenes in the unexpected. So Lord, we ask that you would be with us this week, that your light would shine upon us no matter what darkness we're sitting in, and that you would guide our feet in the path of peace with one another, that we would experience the hope and the joy and the wonder of this holiday through your son, Jesus. And go with us today that we may be a blessing to other people. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. Have a great week. Go Buckeyes. Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.